The House of Representatives releases its 2016 fiscal budget proposal on the Republican side. It would cut back the spending limits on the Defense Department, but it would keep in place cuts on the on domestic programs. Gary Schmitz, co-director of the Marilyn Ware Center for Strategic Studies at the American Enterprise Institute, and is looking at the Budget Committee's plan as released today. Gary, it's great to have you at the program today. I was struck by the release of a trailer that we talked about in the program yesterday from Congressman Price. We learned the details today. And this is being called, in some cases, including on our homepage, sleight of hand, a proposal to set the Defense Department's spending at the Budget Control Act number, which is just under $500 billion, but then pad the Overseas Contingency Operation budget by $36 billion, essentially giving the Defense Department, giving the administration the amount of DOD spending that they've asked for. Is sleight of hand a reasonable term for describing what we saw today? Gary, thanks for being on today.
Yeah, I would say so. It's an attempt to appease those of us who think that there should be an increase in defense spending, but at the same time stay within the, the budget caps that the deficit hawks would like to have. The question is going to be whether it's just all too clever by half. And as you were saying, there's a plus up of 36 to 40 billion in the contingency fund. But even that gets much more complicated because actually when you dive into the budget resolution, only about 20 of that billion is actually really there. And then the other $20 billion, somebody will have to find by finding cuts somewhere else. So, even the plus up is a more complicated thing than they're saying.
It is more complicated for the Pentagon, yes, as you describe it. But I wonder if it's not as complicated as trying to figure out a sequester would be. I guess the benefit here is that since the number. The appropriated number on the top line is 498, 500, whatever the billion is. At least the Pentagon does not have to do a sequester plan, even if they do have to figure out where that other $20 billion is coming that goes into the YOCO.
The difficulty is going to be is that, in fact, the Pentagon really hasn't done those plans. And what you'll have to see if we stay at this level, you'll see decisions about cutting, they were planning to buy another submarine. They were planning on trying to keep the carrier force up to 11. They're planning on buying some more F-35s and planning to try to keep the Army end strength up to about 450. And I think if, in fact, at the end of the year we're back at this 499 level, I think you'll see some very serious decisions made by the Pentagon to really cut force structure and modernization, because I just think they can't square that circle.
I agree with you and all of the indications that I've heard from the members, the Pentagon officials who've testified to members of the Armed Services Committees and the Appropriations Committees and subcommittees so far have said the same thing, Gary. But I wonder if that's not, it's not a great outcome. Let's start there. But I wonder if that's a better outcome at least than trying to figure out 8.7% or whatever across the board on everything, as we would have seen if they'd come out with a budget resolution that was appropriated in the 530s somewhere, and then we wind up seeing sequester later in the year.
Yeah, it's marginally better, but again, I think step one, which is if I had to, sort of bet, and of course, if you looked at my stock portfolio, you wouldn't abide by my bets, but. I suspect, actually, the budget resolution may not even pass the House, in which case, then, we're going to be back at square one. And, months down the road, after you sort it all out, you're going to wind up, in all likelihood, with a, because nobody will be able to agree about any of this, a continuing resolution, which, as you're pointing out, is going to mean this kind of ham-handed way of cutting the Defense Department.
I'm guilty, I guess, Gary, of being a member of the Glass Half Full Club. I'm always trying to find some way that this might work out to the benefit of people who are trying to manage all of these issues. at all of these agencies. And the potential scenario that I see is maybe a takeaway from the Homeland Security budget thing that we went through just a couple of weeks ago, and that is Speaker Boehner realizes that he can actually govern if he relies on a minority of his members and enough Democrats to get to 218. And I wonder if that might not portend a little bit of an increase in defense spending and a little bit of an increase in non-defense spending and a deal with the Senate, similar to what we saw with Chairman Ryan and Chairman Murray when they each led the budget committees, and a deal that everybody likes enough just to hold their noses and vote for it, I guess, or enough people like enough to hold their noses and vote for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's in fact probably, if I had to guess, that's where the Senate would probably go. I think there's a momentum among some of the defense hawks in the Senate to go ahead and say, look, you know, we have a Democrat in the White House. He wants more domestic spending, but we absolutely need more defense spending. So we're just going to have to, you know, bite the bullet and agree to that. The real question is whether in the House they can get that same sort of compromise. I mean, it was an extraordinary effort, extraordinary time that Ryan and Murray were able to do that. And it's just unclear whether, the leadership in the House is willing to go down that road. Let's hope so, but right now I think it's anybody's guess that whether the House will actually adopt that kind of strategy.
Gary Schmitz, co-director of the Maryland Ware Center for Strategic Studies at the American Enterprise Institute and former staff director of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Gary, as you look at the landscape here, are there things that we should be watching, either the way the markups proceed in either of the budget committees or especially Chairman Thornberry is going to start his national defense authorization process around the middle of April. I believe the 20th is the date he's set to start markups there. Any of these events that we should watch in the next month to 6 weeks that could give us an idea which direction any of these things might be headed?
Yeah, I think they have to pass a budget resolution in theory by April 15th. So we'll know just shortly before he begins the process of working up the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. We'll have a sense of whether the House, in fact, was able to pass a budget resolution. If not, it's really going to, Thornberry is a new chairman, and he's going to be facing a really difficult situation because, on the one hand, he's on record for calling for, you know, a budget of $577 billion with Senator McCain, who shows every indication that he's going to mark up to that figure no matter what. I don't know if, Congressman Thornberry is willing to go down that road, but it's without any guidance on the budget, it's going to be kind of an open season about what, in fact, he's willing to do. Does he stay with the sequester levels, in which case then he's really going to be talking about cutting programs, or does he go ahead and mark to a higher level, hoping that at some point the OCO supplementals will cover that tail? But again, that runs into the problem that there's deficit hawks who don't like these supplementals as a way of getting around the Budget Control Act. So I hate to predict anything, but it's just going to be a very difficult time.
Do we have any sense yet, as we did, we started to learn about Congressman Price's plan yesterday.
Yeah.
We understand that Senator Enzi is going to start to mark on the Senate side tomorrow. Do we have any sense of where he is on this and whether he's close to Chairman Price to know how far apart they are?
The sense we get is that he's closer to Price than not, which again leads to the question of whether or not in the Senate there's going to be a backbench revolt against the budget resolution. So, and again, Congressman Price, it was a good faith effort to try to please everybody, but as often is the case when you try to please everybody, you make everybody slightly mad, and how all that plays out in votes is just still to be determined. And I think the same thing's likely to happen in the Senate. But again, as you were suggesting, I think there's a possibility of working with Democrats to come up with a budget resolution that the White House might be willing to go along with.
A veteran of Capitol Hill told me once, Gary, that when you have something that everyone hates, you usually have a deal. It sounds like that's where we're headed here.
Yeah. As somebody used to work up there, it's never pretty, but somehow, at some point, usually it gets done.